to October and welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 137 of the podcast, your NFL spectacular for the week. Great to have you guys with us. Thank you for your continued support. It is greatly appreciated. Fresh guest to the podcast today. One of the original gangsters of my radio station here in the Bay Area, Brandon Tierney. One of the first guys on air here at 95.7 The Game. He's going to join us in just a few minutes. He's with CBS Radio Now. Tiki and Tierney is the show where he works with Tiki Barber each and every day during the week. He's all over CBS Sports, and he not only enjoys the sports betting industry, but now that PASPA has been repealed and sports betting is becoming more mainstream, Tierney has been working it more and more into his program. So we'll find out about the hurdles he may face with that at CBS, how he's embracing it, what they're doing differently. But. Before we get to any of that, here comes your six-point teaser play of the week. Bang! Back to our winning ways last week, the Jacksonville-Cleveland teaser. Needed overtime against the Raiders, but was never in doubt. Cashed for us, making the weekly six-point teaser play 3-1 on the season. This weekend, we turn to Seattle and we turn to New Orleans. But those are just the cities. Those are not the teams. We turn to Seattle, who will be hosting the Los Angeles Rams this week. 10 days of rest for Jared Goff and the undefeated Rams. They're currently a 7-point favorite. I want you to tease that down to 1 for the first half of our teaser. The Rams enter week 5, like I said, on 10 days rest with an offense that is averaging a league high 468.5 yards per game. LA 3-0-1 against the spread on the season. They've scored 33 or more in every game this year, and they're 6-2 against the number over their last 8 road dates. Seattle is down stalwart safety Earl Thomas to a season-ending leg injury, which was suffered last Sunday in Arizona against the Cardinals. They feature one of the worst offensive lines in the league, and they're 2-5 against the spread over their last 7 games at CenturyLink Field. First half of our 6-point teaser, it's the Rams from -7 down to -1. Part 2, Monday Night Football, New Orleans hosting the Washington Redskins in New Orleans. The Saints are 6.5-point favorites. I want you to tease that down to 0.5. I've already laid out why we like the Rams. I also like New Orleans to roll Monday night with a quarterback in Drew Brees who is completing 76% of his passes on the season. That is insane. This offense is being drastically overlooked because of what we're seeing in LA and Kansas City. But make no mistake about it, this may be the most efficient and precise offense in the league. Good luck to Washington, especially when you consider the fact that the Redskins are just 2-8 against the spread over the last 10 games when they're coming off a bye, and 7-19 against the spread over their last 26 games played on Monday night. So, for this week's 6-point teaser play, give me the Rams, teased from -7 to -1 at Seattle, and give me the Saints on Monday night, teased from -6.5 to a half against the Washington Redskins. His name is Brandon Tierney. You can check him out on CBS Radio, where he hosts the wildly popular Tiki and Tierney Show weekdays with Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, joining us here on the Sharp 600. BT, I know we've never really met, but I not only appreciate the time, I feel like I already know you, brother. You were the one that kind of got everything started here at 95.7 The Game, and now we're just trying to push it to the next level. Your the ghost of Brandon Tierney still walks these halls.
I like it. I like it. How you doing, Joe? Good to be on with you, man. And I'll tell you what, those were fun. Albeit, you know, arduous bridge to lay. That was a tough job, man. You launched when we launched in August of 2011, while we had some great people, some committed people, some passionate radio people. You know, going up against the beast from across the street, we flip a switch from country western, and the A's were probably at that point 20 games under 500. I'm like, woof, I came 3,000 miles for this. it turned quick, and you know, I look back on, I'll always look back on the game and that Bay Area stint with great fondness. I always say, whenever anybody asks me, I say, you know, it really treated my wife and I really well. And I really mean that. And listen, pertaining to sports, man, when we were out there, Andrew Luck was quarterback in Stanford. You had the 49ers renaissance just starting with Harbaugh. The A's became a playoff team. Giants won a World Series. The Warriors started to lay their foundation with some of the draft picks and Mark Jackson. It was pretty vibrant, man. And so It was fun. A lot of love for the station, a lot of love for the people, a lot of love for the city, Joe.
Well, you've got a lot of good stuff cooking right now over at CBS Sports. You're on the radio with Tiki Barber. You guys have a wildly popular show. I see you on TV all the time with people like Amy Trask. So this is where I want to start. As a guy who talks about sports betting on the air, how did you treat the subject prior to the Supreme Court repealing PASPA, before versus after? Because we're moving into this new era of sports betting in this country, and I'm curious how you're handling on your shows.
You know, it's funny, Joe. It's interesting for me to sit back and listen to some of the other shows, and I'll answer it directly about my show. But now you get a sense of, all right, who's really been betting all these years, but they just didn't have the stones to kind of say it. Now everybody's, you know, brazen, or they have this freedom based on the ruling so that you don't have to really hide anything. I've never hidden it, man. I mean, I'll say this. Sometimes I play it up. Like, I think if you just caught my show and you don't know me, you'd say, man, this guy's got money everywhere. He's a degenerate. No, I like numbers. I like studying. I like trends. And obviously, I'll partake. But I think that there's an intelligence to it. And I think that's nice to see. Now that it's out there in the open, and, you know, you don't have to kind of obscure things so you don't get in trouble, whether it's with your company or the IRS or whatever. You know, now you could really talk about it with a depth, and you could provide some background. And I think you can lead people in a better direction. I'll tell you this. I think one of the common mistakes that a lot of people make, amateur bettors, right, is that they don't, not even so much reading lines and knowing what the public's doing. Of course, that's part of it, Joe. You know that. But I think that there's a smart way to bet and a dumb way to bet. A dumb way to bet is to say, all right, who's playing on Monday night? Oh, we got this team, and I'm going to watch the game. Let me throw $100 on it because it's on in front of me. Really, the value is usually where you can't watch the games, because that's where, like, collegially, it's funny, I'm going over my picks now, right? And listen, who knows if they hit, but I'm usually pretty good. I'm looking at Ohio with Kent State. I'm looking at Colorado State.
We got Maction right around the corner. If you follow Maction, you are a sports bettor, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, this is where there's money to be made. You just have to be savvy enough to find it. I'm looking at Colorado State and San Jose State. I'm looking at the Louisville-Georgia Tech game tonight. You know, and I'll tell you this. So the Yankee game the other night, right? Listen, I didn't know what, by the way, condolences to the A's fans. I'm sorry. We had to handle business, but, you know, we just had to make sure that we get to the next series. No disrespect. Joe, I'm looking at the lines and I'm saying, all right, do I love the Yankees to win by a run and a half? I mean, I kind of do, but Severino, if that slider's not right, and who really knows what the hell's going to happen with this bullpen blueprint by Melvin, who's a genius. I didn't feel great that the Yankees would win by two. So I think what I did feel good about, there was a different bet. I think it was -115 for the Yankees to score at least 4.5 runs. And those are bets. Like, if you probe, and it's not just the straight up, well, give me the over, give me the under, Pat's laying 10 and I'll shave off the half a point. Yeah, that's part of it. Or a parlay or a reverse or whatever it is. But there's other bets, and if you're smart and you carve out time, there's money to be made, man.
You know, the beauty of working here is that covering the Golden State Warriors, and you'll know this, covering teams on a regular basis, you'll pick up nuance that other people might not see. And we were on to this third quarter angle like 4 years ago. Like, you knew under Steve Kerr, this team was always going to come out in the third quarter and play well. So I'm trying with all my might behind the microphone to get people to recognize this. But a lot of people, that's like too far down the line for sports betting. Lo and behold, not only does it become more widespread with the repeal of PASPA, but this spring you have all these people coming out of the woodwork with, hey, by the way, guys, just so you know, the Warriors are really good in the third quarter. It's a really great bet. By that point, the bet's dead. Everyone knows about it. But people are just now uncovering it because, you know, they're starting to think this way. Which leads me into my next question. How far do you see this going from a media standpoint? Because I think a lot of us who are in the industry and who like this feel there's this massive push coming. There's a TV show on FS1. I think there's going to be more coming. But also, the leagues have made it clear, the NFL specifically, it does not want any of this creeping into its pregame or broadcast coverage.
But it's going to, because it already has. I mean, if you listen and you understand the verbiage, you know, you might not hear broadcast or say, Lay the 7.5 tonight. I really feel like the Pats are going to cover. But if you miss, you might hear, hey, you're going to be a shootout. Expect a lot of points. And if you're paying attention, ding, ding, the over. So there's a way to kind of obscure it, and it's not shoved down your throat. You know, listen, I don't think it's that dissimilar from marijuana. In the sense, there are people in our country who view marijuana as a gateway drug, and I don't, just, you know, for the record, as a gateway drug, as, you know, really a dark drug, which I clearly don't. Those are people who probably have never smoked, and that's certainly fine, and who just don't understand what cannabis is all about. And I think that you look, and you, when you take that mindset, you transfer it to gambling. It sounds dirty. It sounds, you know, on the street corner, like it hasn't evolved in the back room of the bar, where, you know, a bar that's run by the mafia. I mean, those days are, for the most part, they're over. And I really think that if you can carve out a, you know, and you're smart and you have the certain, and you don't have an addictive personality, find a few bets, enhance your viewing pleasure. And as much as football says that they don't want it to creep in and they don't want to fully embrace it, watch. Watch within, well, I don't know if it's 3 years or 5 years or a decade, stadiums will have casino names, pregame shows will be sponsored by casinos, there will be full-fledged, in-your-face, down-your-throat gambling segments. It's coming, just like marijuana's coming.
Agreed. Let's jump into some games. First one out of the gate Sunday morning I'm looking at, Kansas City laying 3 against Jacksonville. This is a game that a lot of people should be paying attention to because we've got the new age offense, the spread offense, with the Potomac bomb, Patrick Mahomes, taking on one of the league's best defenses. Personally, I'm laying the 3 with Kansas City. Jalen Ramsey last year talking trash on the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo about how they're a, quote, system offense, and that's what got him. What does he think he's facing here? I think it's going to be too much for Blake Bortles. Where do you stand?
Well, I think he's facing the best defense in the NFL because the Vikings defense is a mess. Well, Chicago's really good as well. We know the Jaguars defense individually and schematically is top shelf, but I think what people need to realize is that in terms of the 3 points, and I agree, I'm going to lay the 3 as well if I do that game, and I haven't committed to it yet, but I do like Kansas City -3. But you have to look at some of the games the Jaguars have played. I mean, they looked incredibly disinterested that Tennessee game. How the hell do you score 6 points at home against a Tennessee team that, I know they're 3-1, but is anything but potent. So the 3 points is minuscule in my opinion, because I don't think that even though the Chiefs' defense is pretty porous, as we know, the Jaguars without Fournette, they don't have the ability, unless something wacky happens, a punt return, a block punt, and hey, that's why they call it gambling. I don't think conventionally they can put 23, 24 points up on the board, and I think that Kansas City can. And so, you know, for me, if I'm looking at the value, I do like Kansas City -3 as well.
Cleveland +3 at home against Baltimore. The Ravens have caught some people by surprise this season. That's what'll happen when you motivate Joe Flacco a little bit. The last time he was motivated was the contract year when he went on to win the Super Bowl. Now he's got Lamar Jackson breathing down his neck. Cleveland +3 at home. This feels like a situation where a divisional rivalry, team with some talent, good defense, catching points at home should be the play. But do you trust Cleveland to avoid losing this game? Because they are really good at finding ways to lose.
I don't trust the Browns here at all. I love the Ravens. Matter of fact, this is one of my plays for sure. I'm going with the Ravens. I'll lay the 3. I mean, listen, it was right underneath, you know, they gave up 40 points to the Raiders. Now, I know that they got hosed, and I know that the Raiders' offense is certainly better than its defense, but, you know, that is a Browns team that the public, and this is, the intelligence of the finer points of betting. There's an energy, and I get it because the Browns have been so bad, and Baker came in on Thursday night and beat the Jets and blah, 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 and they almost beat the Steelers in Week 1, and they've got some real good players, and I know that they do, but I think that it's a little misleading, and I think that there's this sentiment that the Browns are maybe a step ahead of where they are. I really like the Ravens coming into the season. I picked them as a wild card team. I think if you follow off-season transactions, forget about gambling, you realize finally for the first time in about 3 years, Joe, meaning you, Joe, but the other Joe, Joe Flacco, got the weaponry. They got 3 new receivers. They drafted them 2 tight ends, one of them who hasn't even played yet, who's going to be good. Their defense is good, and they're going to win 10 games, maybe 11, because the division's down. I love the Ravens in this spot. I think it's a flex game, meaning they'll walk in, they'll flex, and they'll say to the Browns, maybe next year, not yet. I love the Ravens here.
Rams minus 7 at Seattle, laying points on the road. Big points like this, especially long-term, could probably get you into trouble. But the Rams have had 10 days of rest. Meanwhile, it's a divisional rivalry game. We know Seattle at home used to have some muster. Does it still have enough to carry them through this one?
You know what's funny? I'm going to take into my mindset, and I'll give you the answer, but this is how I view this game. I won't commit to this game because I don't think the line's going to move enough where I need to be incentivized to jump in now. So I'll kick back. And I'll see, how do I do, you know, Saturday? How do I do on Sunday? And if I'm doing well, if I'm going for the throat, I'll kick a little something on it just to increase the juice and you know, maybe get a little sweat going here. I don't love this game. I think this is an unnecessary bet. You're right. 7 points in that venue, probably not wise. But I also think that it's easy to overthink this. The Seattle offensive line, it's deplorable. I mean, it's not even average. It's deplorable. It's terrible. So you look at that and say, how can they theoretically just keep the trenches clean to even put themselves in a position to cash in on a 7-point spread? And I don't think it's there. I think that, listen, the only way you lose this bet is if the Rams show up disinterested. And I think because of that stage, that venue, that energy in that building, if they're not there for the opening few snaps, they'll eventually recalibrate, click it in, and probably win. I mean, I could see something like 27-30-ish, 30-17, something like that, 30-14, 30-13.
This game falls right in the wheelhouse of another bet I wanted to ask you about. Do you play 6-point teasers? Because I know a lot of people will look at the Rams minus 7. They'll think the way you're thinking. They'll think the way I've been thinking about laying that many points on the road. And they'll say, you know what, I'll tease it down to 1, and maybe I'll pair it up with New Orleans Monday night, move that from 6.5 down to 1/2.
Joe, I haven't done a parlay. I can't remember the last time I did a parlay. I honestly can't. I don't. You know, the numbers will scout sucker bet. But I haven't avoided it even for that reason, even though there's probably enough reason to avoid it. I just don't love connecting games. This has to happen. That's got to happen. You know, there's just too many calls. Like, I was doing some research for Tops, right? And last year at this point, there was 182, my notes are inside, passing touchdowns. So far this year, we've got 225. And, you know, that's attributed to a lot of different things. First of all, the quarterback's much better. A lot of the systems are coming from college, and there's smarter, younger people, and the schematics are changing. The rules, you know, all these. What drives me nuts, and this kills more bets than any penalty in football. Not 15 yards on the quarterback by rolling on him. Not even, you know, a 37 yard down the field pass interference. The call that I hate is the 5-yard illegal contact. When you
automatic first down.
I hate it. Unless, of course, it benefits me that I love it.
Well, yeah, but then it's the best call in sports.
Exactly. Then you're like, yeah, I love this thing. But, you know, you could really be playing such, you know, highly principled defense. You're in your gaps. You're not biting on fakes. You're really playing with great football integrity. And then given the subjective nature of one little, you know, did it get a little handsy at the 5.5-yard line? Maybe it didn't, flip a coin, and then you know what? Boom, there's the penalty, 5 yards, change move, first down, touchdown. And not only does the scoreboard change, but the momentum changes and the field position changes. So I don't like to connect. Again, this is my own personal theory. I'm not saying it works for everybody. I don't like linking games together because it's hard enough to get one right.
Before we let you go, are there any games out there we didn't touch on that you might be eyeing up for this weekend?
I'll tell you what, that's probably the kiss of death. I'm believe it or not, I'm usually pretty on the money with the Jets because I'm very honest. And I know that they're not good, and I know that their head coach is terrible. There's something about this game. It's a pick 'em. I think I like the Jets here. Denver's coming off that tough game, divisional rivalry, tough loss, down to the wire, short work week, Monday, West Coast to East Coast. Jets got drubbed their last game. There's a lot of negative energy in the city, sports radio, newspapers, media. I think the Jets are feeling the heat, which should, in theory, you know, propel them to, I think, what probably is going to equate to one of their best efforts in the city. I think they clip the Broncos. I think they sneak up on them. You know, not going to be aesthetically pretty, not going to be 35. You know,
I could see an ugly 2017-16. I think the Jets win. That's a little, and I wouldn't go heavy on that. But that's one that I think most people don't see that I like.
Follow him on Twitter at Brandon Tierney. You can catch he and Tiki Barber Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on CBS Radio. The show is Tiki and Tierney. Brandon Tierney joining us here on the Sharp 600. BT, I really appreciate it, man. I enjoyed the conversation. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Joe, great questions. I could tell that when you talk about this, you are providing a service to your audience, because a lot of people, now I do a lot of interviews and they ask stuff about this, and it's like, geez, did you ever even walk up to a window in Las Vegas and place a $5 bet? And do you know anything about it? Nice job, buddy. I had a good time, Joe. Thank you.
Take care, BT.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
All right, we hit on our six-point teaser last week, but we do not count the teaser plays towards the overall record. The teaser plays are kept separate. So 3-1 in teaser plays. Last week in the NFL, we went 2-2 with our individual picks. We are now 10-6 on the season. 4 picks coming your way right now. Give me some music. Game number one, it's the Kansas City Chiefs laying 3 against the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, Arrowhead Stadium. Kansas City is 4-0, both straight up and against the spread through the first month of the season, thanks to an offense that is scoring a league-high 36.2 points per game. Granted, Patrick Mahomes, the Potomac Bomb, and the Chiefs are operating on a short week of rest after defeating the division rival Broncos in Denver 27-23 on Monday night. But the kicker here is what Jacksonville cornerback Jalen Ramsey had to say last season after getting smoked by the San Francisco 49ers and quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo 44-33. Quote, what'd he play? 5 games? He has good potential. I think he'll be a good player. But off my experience in playing him, it was a lot of scheme stuff. It wasn't like he was just dicing us up. It was a lot of scheme stuff. That's Jalen Ramsey talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan. Well, if scheme stuff was enough for the Niners, who were a bootleg franchise last year, to hang 44 on this defense, what do you think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are going to do to you this weekend at Arrowhead Stadium? Give me the Chiefs minus the field goal. Game number two, Buffalo plus 5 hosting Tennessee, Sunday 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, New Era Field at Ralph Wilson Stadium. The Titans are solid, but not to the tune of a squad that should be laying 5 points on the road against a hungry opponent that just got blanked in Green Bay last Sunday. Tennessee is just 10-22 against the spread over its last 32 road dates, while the Bills are 4-1 against the number over the last 5 games following a loss. In addition, you have to factor in the emotional angles here as well, as this is Buffalo's only home game during a 5-week stretch that began in Week 3 and ends in Week 7. While the Titans are off an extraordinarily emotional high after coming back to defeat the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles in overtime last Sunday, do not be surprised if the Bills shock the world and win this one outright. Take the 5 points with Buffalo. Game number 3, it's the Packers and the Lions, Sunday, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, Ford Field in Michigan. This may be the square play of the week, but so be it. Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers is 6-2 lifetime in Detroit, with one of those defeats coming back in 2010 when the future Hall of Famer exited the game during the first half with a concussion. Since that matchup, Rodgers is 14-4 on the road against the NFC North. Detroit's defense has surrendered 26 or more points in 3 of 4 contests this season, and the team as a whole finds itself currently ranking dead last in the NFL in turnover differential at -4. Green Bay should be laying a couple of points here, so we'll gladly scoop up the legendary quarterback and the rest of the Packers at the price of a pick'em. Final game of the week, it's the Rams -7 at the Seahawks Sunday, 425 Eastern, 125 Pacific. We laid out most of the reasons why we like the Rams during our 6-point teaser play at the beginning of the episode, so we'll just kind of reiterate here. The Rams are on 10 days of rest. They have an offense averaging 468.5 points per game. They have failed to miss covering the point spread 0 times this season, although they did push in Week 4. And they're 6-2 against the number over their last 8 road dates. Seattle is down Earl Thomas. They've got an awful offensive line, and they don't cover spreads at home anymore. 2-5 against the spread over their last 7 at CenturyLink. Give me the Rams -7. So to recap from the beginning of the show, your 6-point teaser play of the week, Rams minus 7 teased to Rams minus 1 at Seattle, coupled with the Saints minus 6.5 teased down to minus 0.5 against the Washington Redskins on Monday night. Your 4 individual picks, Kansas City minus 3 over Jacksonville, Buffalo plus 5 over Tennessee, Green Bay pick'em over Detroit. That'll do it for episode 137 of the podcast. Thank you to Brandon Tierney for joining us today. It means the world to us. Thank you to you guys for your continued support. Be well and best of luck.